Okay. Tonight's shiur is dedicated L'ilui Nishmas, Dr. Fogelman's father, Chaim Tzvi Ben Baruch, and his chas refuah shleima for my father, Chaim Yitzchak Yaakov Ben Bas Yisar. For some reason, a halacha which everyone is familiar with is that my wife, when she's expecting and she's pregnant, she can't go to a lavaya. She can't go into the cemetery. Chas v'chalila. That's that. A rav gets that shaila more than he gets hilchos Shabbos, anything else. That's the halacha that everyone's a bucky in. And I'll tell you today, you can flip. Right. You could flip through Shas. You could flip through Poskim. You will not find this halacha anywhere. Where did it come from? Where did this story? It's made up. Where does it come from? Is there anything, any halachic source that even schmecks of such a halacha, that we can even, you know, attribute it to be similar to this din? Where does it all come from? So I did some research. I found a possible source of what people base this on. But at the end of the day, halacha l'maisa, I'm telling you right now, for most people, this is not a relevant halacha, and you can go in. Maybe it's Divrei Kabbalah, like the Rashbin Shuva says, if something has its sources, like as we say, a Baba Maisa, it's a Maisa from our Babis, and there's some sort, some Mustama, there must be some Divrei Kabbalah, but halachic sources, outside of that, we don't have any sources. So it's people going into the cemetery, a pregnant woman, and going into a Levaya, going into anywhere where there's Tumah. There's a Gemara about following a mace, that the Nashim should walk in a certain way, but there the Nashim are allowed to go in. We're talking about halacha, about a pregnant woman, not about Nashim, about pregnant woman not being allowed to come in contact with Tumah or to be in a cemetery. The fact that they should walk in certain ways, the fact that men shouldn't look and watch that woman bodies walking in a certain way, Hilchotznias or other different halachas, there might be a certain way that they should carry the dead body when they're going, but the fact that they have to worry halachically about going into a cemetery, most poskin are of the opinion that al pi pashas, al pi halacha, there is no source, and possibly we're going to have to try and defend if there is any source, if there's anything to be somichan, does it exist entirely? But yet there is something halachically that does exist, which is a fascinating halacha, which possibly could shed light onto this question that applies to all pregnant wives and funerals, which is the halacha that's relevant in this week's parsha. The pasuk in Parshas Emor starts off Emor al Kohanim, and Chazal have a drasha Emor al Kohanim Emor v'yamarta, that there's a double lashon. You should say and you should repeat again, and Chazal say lelamed lahazir gdolim alaktanim, that not only should you, the Kohanim, make sure that you don't come in contact or go underneath a roof of a mace and be at a levaya or in some area where there might be a mace in that same roof, which will be a problem of being metami yourself ba'ohel. No, not only emor v'amarta lahazir gdolim alaktanim, we have a pasuk that's telling us you should beware. Not only should you not become tamei, but your children, who are also Kohanim, because they were born to you, you should make sure that they don't become Tameh either. And it's fascinating that the Torah decided to go out of its way, specifically in this week's Parsha, to tell us to be concerned about our children and make sure that we don't put them in contact with an impure, with a mace or other impurity. When this halacha, as we've spoken about many times in the past, we had a shiur titled last year of Can I Feed My Child McDonald's? This is a halacha that's relevant to many different Isurim, not necessarily limited to Hilchos Tumas Kohanim. So that's question number one. But we do have, in the beginning of this week's parasha, and it's codified in Shulchan Aruch in source number 1, Kishem Sha'akohan Muzer Shalolitamos. Just like the Kohen himself in this week's parsha is warned from coming in contact and impure and causing himself to become impure, kach muzharim hagdolim alaktanim. So too the gdolim, the parents, have to ensure that their children that don't know any better have to make sure that they don't put their children in contact with those mesim, even though technically one could argue that the children are really a lav bar chiyuva, and we're talking about they don't even necessarily reach the age of chinuch, or I'm not chayiv in chinuch to some random child, so why am I obligated to make sure that he doesn't come in contact? Because, like we said, I can't feed McDonald's to my child. I also can't put him inside a cemetery where he's going to come impure. That's one of the halachos that are learnt out from this week's parsha. And like, as the Shulchan Aruch goes on, v'davka l'tamosan biyadayim, you have a specific pasuk telling you that you yourself physically should not place him inside biyadayim, inside a cemetery. If the kids are playing around and they happen to be playing football and it happens to be in an area where there's a tree and there happens to be a Beis HaKvaros in that with that tree on the same, you know, the highway is on the same, the road is on the underneath the same tree that's also on the side of a Beis HaKvaros, let them play football there. It's no problem. I don't have to make sure that they don't go on their own. I have to make sure that I myself don't place them biadayim into the Beis HaKvaros. Okay? This is codified in Shulchan Aruch as we have by other Yisur. However, the Rokeach, one of the Rishonim, which is quoted by the Shach, the commentary, one of the commentary, the Sifsei Kohen commentary on Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, and it's repeated in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos over here. The Rokeach says the following halacha. Not only is this halacha that we just read and this pasuk that we're learning in this week's parsha relevant to your children that are already in existence, that are already born, but I have to be worried about a pregnant woman that the child is going to be a Kohen, is married to a Kohen. Ultimately, this child is going to be a Kohen. So says the Rokeach, why is the woman who's pregnant allowed to go to the Levaya? Again, not an Eishes Yisrael. That we said, we're going to have a tough time finding a source. A regular Israeli woman that's not talking about outside of the Parsha of Kahuna, we're having a difficult time finding a source for that. But now we're in a different... Now we're talking in this week's Parsha. Parsha Sakahuna. We want to know Emor. Parsha Kohanim. So says the Rokeach, it's also relevant for the pregnant woman. Why is she allowed to go into the Beis HaKvaros? That should be a problem of this child becoming Tameh. So says the Rokeach, I have a teretz. I save the world, says the Rokeach. I have a sex sveka. You know, this is the time in Beis Batei Midrashim, in Halacha, this is the zman of the Halacha called sfek sveka. We have a halachic principle that sometimes, and we've talked about it in the past, that when there's a bunch of doubts that are coupled together, on the one hand, suffik, maybe these Rishonim are right, maybe those Rishonim are right. And even if we're machmir in the first question, but even if you're machmir, you have a second suffik, another machlokas Rishonim, that you can pin yourself on. So you have a lot of tzadim that you have the ability to be mako, so there are certain times in halacha that the Shulchan Aruch writes, because of a svek sveka, we have the ability to be mako on this question. This is what's relevant, halacha l'maisa, that's why it's the zman of svek sveka. If a person forgot to count at night, and he only remembers in the day, so the Mishnah Berurah says, because of a svek sveka, you can continue counting the next night in Sfiras HaOmer. So this is a lot of pulpulim in Hilchos svek sveka. People like to talk about svek sveka now in the zman of Sfiras HaOmer. So says the Rokeach, I have another svek sveka for you. The whole reason that my pregnant wife, who's an Eishes Kohen, who's married to a Kohen, who really there should be a technical problem for her to walk into the Beis HaKvaros, or for her to attend the Levaya, the only reason she's allowed to, says the Rokeach, is because I have a svek sveka. What's a svek sveka? Says the Rokeach, safek if it's a zachar, safek if it's a nekeva, maybe the child is going to be a female, and a female kohen has the ability to go into a Beis HaKvaris. This parsha of Emor v'Kohanim was said to Kohanim v'lo Kohenes. So there's no restriction when it comes to a female kohen. Aye, but Suffolk, that's only one Suffolk. We usually have to be machmir by one Suffolk. Suffolk deraisa l'chumra. We try to be machmir and stringent when it comes to Hilchos Sveikus. Says the Rokeach, no, we have a Svek Sveika. Because even if it's a child that's a boy, a zachar, a male, maybe it will be a nathil. Maybe the child won't last. Many, unfortunately, children don't always last. Like we spoke about in Parshas Bo, Pidyon HaBen, we spoke about the whole reason that Pidyon HaBen was till day 30 could be because of the chashash that we're not sure that this child is going to live till the age of 30 days, and that could be the whole reason. We spoke about Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Baruch Hashem, we're chazering a lot of the sugyas now. So there's a chashash nefil, says the Rokeach. So you have a svek sveka. So therefore the Rokeach says, I'm willing to be matir and to permit the pregnant woman to walk into the cemetery, to the levaya, because you have a svek sveka, which is something to rely on. Even in Hilchos Tumas Kohanim, even Isser V'Heter, we rely on such a halacha. So there are a few questions that many of the Mefarshim are very bothered by this Rokeach, which is brought down lahalacha. So we can't make light of this Rokeach. If you look in the Shach, if you look in the Poskim, this is the reason that's brought why a woman that's married to a Kohen can walk into a Beis HaKvaros. So question number one is, the child is not born yet. Who says the child gets the status of a Kohen before he's a living being? Do we have any Gemaras or any Mefarshim that could tell us, when do you begin the status of being a Kohen? So the answer is, yes, there's a Gemara that talks about this issue. There's a Gemara in source number 4, Yevamos and Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing another halacha that's relevant to Kohanim. Unfortunately, it's not relevant Bizman Hazeh, but Bizman Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim used to get the Truma. So the Kohanim used to get the Truma, but not only would the Kohanim get the Truma, the Eved, the servant of the Kohen that was financially owned properly to the Kohen, he would have the ability to feed his behemoths, his animals, and his slaves the Truma, because that was his Parnosa. That's how he kept the family, that's how he kept his household. So the Mishnah says in source number 4, Bas Yisrael Shenisas LeKohen, you have a Jewish female that was married to a Kohen, the Mace, and the Kohen, her husband died. V'hinichamu beres, but she was pregnant when he died. So the Mishnah says, Lo yochlu avodeh betruma, mipnei chelko shel uber, sha uber posel, ve'eno machil, divrei Rabbi Yosi. The Mishnah says, you are not allowed to feed even her personal slaves, because she has to be concerned about the living fetus in her body, and that's now going to restrict her from giving all of her truma to her own slaves, because she has to make new cheshbonos because of the living being, as if there is a living being alive that's going to have to make a difference over here. So the Gemara is going to clarify in a second. Let's see. What's the nature of this halacha? The Gemara is not sure. Why should this uber make any difference? Why should that have ramifications? So the Gemara in the next paragraph, look at the lines. Gemara, the Gemara has a suffix. Iboyaluhu. This statement that we just read from Rabbi Yossi, time of Rabbi Yossi, what's it because of? Exactly what Adi was asking. Time of Rabbi Yossi, mishum de kasavar, uber bimezara zaru. Is it because this uber, this fetus, is actually a non-Kohen? And therefore, he doesn't even deserve any truma, odilma, or is it that no, the fetus is really considered a Kohen? He's not considered a Zar. He's not considered, a Zar is another word for a Yisrael, a stranger, Zarus mi Kahuna. If a person who's a non-Kohen works in the Beis HaMikdash, he's over the Isser of Zar. He can't work. So that's what a non-Kohen is, a Zar. He's a stranger. So the Gemara says, no, Odilma Yilud Machil, She'enu Yilud Eino Machil. Or no, really, this is considered like there is a Kohen over here. But the reason why we can't just feed the slaves over here is because technically there's a problem that to feed the slaves, even if they're the slaves of the child, you have to be alive. You have to retain it yourself. You have to have a yad, you have to have a hand to acquire that truma and then pass it on to the slaves. If you're not actually living, it's not that you're not considered a Kohen, but it's that you have to be a living being in order to pass over the truma to your Zavadim. So what's the nature of this halacha that we have to restrict the Avadim from getting this truma? Is it because there's no kahuna anymore, and it's not the slaves of a Kohen? Or no, it's because technically he is a Kohen. And in other areas of halacha that are relevant for Kohanim, maybe we should treat him like a Kohen. But there's a...
A child is born.
Right.
And he's a Ben Kohen.
Right.
And he's a Kohen. Is he obligated to the things of a Kohen before he's bar mitzvah?
Oh, so... He might be obligated. You're asking a fundamental question. When I have a child, even a non-Kohen, when I have a child, is he obligated in mitzvos, but we just don't penalize him until he's 13? Or do you say he's not obligated in the first place? So that's a fascinating question. I'll tell you just a regal achas, the Ramah, in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, has a language like this, which in my opinion is very telling. That this is a chakira that they have in the yeshivas, how to understand the katan, and they say, is he just not a bar chiyuva until he becomes 13, and he just is not chayv in mitzvahs, and there's something midrabanan called chinuch, but that biblically that's irrelevant. Or no, he's chayv in mitzvahs, just he has a ptur onshin. We don't give him a penalty if he doesn't follow the mitzvahs. So it's fascinating. The lashon of the Ramah is, and he has a few sources in the Gemara Bava Kamas, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he says, a katan that did Averos when he was a minor. So the Ramah writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Tov lo lasos tshuva. It's recommended that this child, when he gets older, should repent. Now, if you hold that a child was never obligated in any mitzvahs, so then why would there be any aspect of tshuva? So it sounds in the basic, it sounds like in the Ramah that he's a bar chiyuva. There are ways around it, but in Pashas and the Ramah, if you ask me what I really believe, that's what the Ramah sounds like. But Emir Tashem, we'll have another shir. We'll try to defend the other side of the Chakir. Yeah.
My grandson's worth a line, and I can't take him down the street because it's overhanging tree.
Right. Well, so that's not necessarily a riot, because that's an isser on you. You're bringing him. The Mechaber writes in the first source that we said, if my kid's playing football and he's running there on his own, and for sure if his father, if he's not Igi L'chinuch yet, and he doesn't understand, no, yes, the Mishabur writes, he doesn't know what I'm talking about when I tell him Shabbos, 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 he has no clue what I'm talking about. Let him do what he wants. Let him play. Let him have a good game. Let him have football. But for me to take him under the overpass, that's a serious problem, because that's letamis on biyadayim. That's me doing it.
That's usually they either.
Uh-huh.
When we talk about a child, the question was that the child, is his child chiyuv?
No, but this might be your iser. Meaning, even if the child is not a bar chiyuva, there's no question that the Torah says, we paskened already last year in the Beis Medrash. No matter how you decide what the nature of a child is, you cannot give your child McDonald's. That's my Avera, and I have to do tshuva for sure for that. So no matter what you hold the nature of the chiyuv of the child is, my Yisr is for sure. So that's that, and that's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch
is. It's not mutter, but it's pater.
For the child, lachora. That's what would come out according to the Ramah. Yeah, a ptur onshin, exactly.
Mutter,
exactly, exactly. He on his own can do what he wants, but yeah, exactly. But when he gets older, that's right, exactly.
Yeah, but the fact that he's a Kohen, as we just said, this is given, you know.
So this is what we're asking. So Lechora, the Gemara is questioning right now, what is this situation when he's a fetus? Is he a Kohen or is he not a Kohen? So the Gemara actually has this suffix. The Gemara is saying, what is the nature that you have to hold off from feeding the slaves? Is it the fact that he's considered a Yisrael before he's born? Or is it the fact that, no, there's a technical halacha when it comes to Truma, that it has to be a living being and it can't be a fetus? So the Gemara concludes... The Gemara concludes, no, it's because he's not a Kohen. Uber be me imo zarhu, says the Gemara. Oy vai voy. Now we have serious problems. Now let's take it back to the rokeach, back to the shach, back to what we were starting, the eishes kohen that's pregnant. And the shach says, Hilchel svek sveka, the only reason why I have the ability to permit you to walk into the Beis HaKvaris, to go to the cemetery, to attend the Levaya, if you're an eishes kohen, is only because I have a svek sveka. Maybe it's an akeva, maybe it's a nathil, maybe it's not going to live. What are you talking about, Mr. Rokeach? The Gemara says he's a czar. There's no problem for my friend Harry, who's a Yisrael, to go to the Slavaya. There's no problem for this fetus before he's born, if he's a czar, to go to the Slavaya either. So that's a good question. So the Briskerov, in his Haaris, he thinks that it's not necessarily a raya, because maybe this is a unique halacha, that the Gemara is saying he's not a czar legabe all halachos. He's legabe truma, he's considered a czar. So he can get out of this kasha and basically say that this Gemara is a unique halacha when it comes to truma, but it's not necessarily a kasha against the rokeach. Or one can argue that there is a tremendous debate in the Gemara of whether or not Uber Bimeimo is considered a Yerechimo, is considered one of her bodies, is considered like she has a third leg, or is it not considered like she has a third leg? So maybe this Gemara was going according to that Manda Omer that was holding that it was Uber Yerechimo, but we have the question Lalacha, according to Uber Lav Yerechimo, it's a Machloikas, the Re and the Rabbeinu Tam in Sanhedrin, Machloikas Rishonim had a Paskin, so therefore Lahalacha we would still have to defend and need the defense of the rokeach and the shach to allow the woman still to walk into the Beis HaKvaros, even though this Gemara black on white called it Uber Bimeimo Zarhu. So either you say it's just a halacha that's specifically relevant to Truma, not necessarily relevant to Tumas Kohanim, or you say it's going according to one Manda Amr, but we're worried about the other Manda Amr when it comes to the nature of an Uber Bimeimo in the mother's fetus. But then there's another question. And this is a question that the Magen Avraham raises in source number 2. The Magen Avraham quotes the shach that we said. V'im kein, ha-bezdin mochem b'yad ha'av lo'otzi mishamim u'bar havana v'tinok she'enu bar havana asur la'achniso b'yadayim. A child, even if it's a baby, even if it has no ability to understand anything, I, Sid Goldschmidt, cannot take this kid under the overpass because I am the one that's transgressing that, and that is a problem. That's called la'achilo bi'adayim. That's what we talked about last year, the McDonald's. Umikol makom, says the Magen Avraham, kosav hashach v'shem harokeach, the eishes kohen mi'uberes, the wife of a kohen that's pregnant, muteres likonis ba'ol ha'meis, she is permitted to go into the ol ha'meis and to the levaya, into that room where the dead person is there. Why? She's holding a kohen. Shemu nekeva, like we said. O shemu nefel, this is a svek sveka, ayin sham. Says the Magen Avraham, forget your kashas that you have from the Gemara in Yuvam Mustaf Samech Zayin. I have a much better kasha, says the Magen Avraham. I do not understand this rokeach whatsoever. Bitzarech iyin. De belavachi mutter. Of course it's mutter. Why? De tuma blua ain a metama. Says the Magen Avraham. I don't understand. Forget Uber Bimeimo. Forget whether you want to you call this kid a Kohen or a Czar. A kid's a full Kohen, even when he's in the fetus, and the kahuna starts when at conception, when the child is in the fetus. But this child is totally sealed up. It's what's called Tumah. Or Tara Blua. Blua is Milashon Livloa, swallowed up. Anytime something is swallowed up, is concealed, is totally hidden, so then the Tumah is totally inside the body, the Tumah doesn't affect it. The Gemara has a sugya and chulin about a ring that someone swallowed that's in the body, so does it have the ability to be metame other people, or if the ring was tar, and we want to know if the ring becomes tame from outside Tumah, that you could have the reverse situation, either Tumah Blua or Tara Blua, so it doesn't have the ability to be metame if it's inside the body. So too, this fetus is inside the body. What's the difference if I swallow a ring? Or what's the difference if I'm creating a baby inside my body? Says the Magen Avraham, I don't know why we're getting into it. As Magen Avraham says, I believe in the concept of sex veka. I also have Sviras Omer. But it's totally irrelevant, says the Magen
Avraham. The fetus is considered part of...
So says Jack, beautiful. Jack says, like the Avnei Malul, The Avin Meluim, who was the Ksos HaChoshen, he had a sefer Ksos HaChoshen that he wrote his commentary on Choshen Mishpat. He had a sefer Avin Meluim that he wrote his commentary on Evin Ezer, on Inyani Noshim throughout Shulchan Aruch Evin Ezer. And then he had Shev Shmaitza, which is just all about different halachas of Svek Sveka, Rov, Zeid Echad, Nemen Bisurin. At that he came out, seven Shmaitzas, when he became a chosan at every Sheva Brachos, he came out with another Shmaitza. It's just kedai to look at the Shev Shmaitza, the seven Shmaitzas that are in this sefer. It's a fat book, and they're Achroin and the Stipler of Shlomo Zalman. They all wrote just commentaries on the words of the Shmaitza. I remember when I went to Karen Biavne, I discussed to learn with the Rosh Shiva of Karen Biavne. So we were learning the first day, we sat down, and we were sitting to learn, we were learning Shev Shmaitza. That's what he decided to learn with me. So he says to me, "How old are you?" So I said, I was right after high school. I said, "I'm 18 years old." So he said, after we learned the first thing, I had no idea what the Sefer was talking about. There were things flying, Rambams and Rashbas, and he said afterwards, he said, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 18. He said, "Do you know how old this man was when he wrote the Sefer?" He said, "He's 18. So he said, "Get to work." He said, "Start." He said, "That's the Shev Shmaitza." So it's kedai to just be in a spall of what the Tzais did when he was 18 years old. So he's a sefer Evin Ezer. There's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Ishus on Noshim. And he argues the following. He says that if we look, this is a Gemara that we've actually quoted a few times in different areas of Halacha. Fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Source number 3. Elahada Amar Rava. Nachris mu'uberish in his gaira b'na, ein sarach tvila, amai ein sarach tvila. The Gemara is talking about a pregnant woman that wants to be megayir. Who says that she can't be convert when she's pregnant? I think we even spoke about this 4 weeks ago. We spoke about this in the surrogacy shir. So the Gemara says she's allowed to be megayir. And the Gemara says, and not only that, but the gairus works and the child will not need a further gairus afterwards. So the Gemara says, why not? Amai ein tzarech tefila. V'chi tema mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak, d'am Rabbi Yitzchak, d'var Torah, rubu makbid olav chotzitz, rubu sheinu makbid olav eino chotzitz. And if you want to tell me that chatzitza, that the separation only applies when you have rove of the body and something that you actually care about, but something that I don't care about, but doesn't have majority of the body, or I do care about it, and it has only minority of the body, so that's not halacha and chatzitza. Chatzitza needs both. It has to be on rove of the body, and it has to be something that I want to get rid of. So, for ha'amar avkana, lo shanu ela rubo, ava kulo chotzeitz. The Gemara asks, this is not an issue of rove. Do I have something on that? A woman goes into the mikvah to be matar herself, so you have a question, something's on her arm, it's not on majority of the body, it's only on the arm, so then you can shaila, you can now measure, is it rove, is it miyit? Says the Gemara, this is not rove and miyit, this is the whole fetus. This is kulo. This avad is chotzeis. Why should this tefillah work? Why should this geirus work for the child? The whole thing is not being nitbal, is not going into the mikvah, emerging into the mikvah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shiny uber and nuvort. The reason why the fetus doesn't need a tefillah later on, the hainu ribise. Because this is its natural habitat. This is its natural way of living. Something which is its natural way of living, something which is its natural habitat, is not considered halachically a separation, is not considered a chatzitza. So therefore, the Gemara says, even though this child, this fetus, is actually not getting wet whatsoever, you don't actually have to get wet. As long as Alpidin, it's unbelievable the way halacha works. If a guy would walk in and think, you know, is this fetus going swimming? They'd think you're crazy. It's not going swimming. It's not touching the water. That's not what the Torah cares about for Tyra.
It's even easier than that. Isn't a pregnant cow that shechted and then gives birth? You know, they take out the baby and the baby lives.
Right, so that's a ben pakua. That's a different halacha. That's a halacha.
But it shows it's the same thing, and that it's part of.
It definitely shows that it's part of it, 100%. But
it's not a separate issue.
But let me ask you something. If I go into the mikvah and I stand my hand up like this, and there's no one that's going to argue with me that this arm is not connected to my body. Everyone knows that this is my arm. Right. If that arm is not dunking in the mikvah and getting wet all over, this mikveh is totally, that tyra, everyone's going to send you back to the mikveh for that.
Right.
So why is it when it comes to this fetus that is a part of the body, but it didn't actually go in because it's totally separated, because al-pidin, if it's not halachically a separation, a chatitza, so then we consider as if it's in the mikveh right now. It's as if it's there because it's its natural habitat. So comes along the Avnei Malum and says, that's the halacha when it comes to this din as well. When it comes to tumah, so you're right, the Magen Avraham's right, if I swallow a ring and it's balua, so then you're right, balua doesn't have the ability to be metame, and balua doesn't have the ability to become tame if it's tar inside. However, we have a Gemara in Yevamos that's telling us, legabi chatzitza in Hilchas Geirus, that when it's the natural habitat, so it's not considered a separation for tefila b'mikvah, and the tefila works, so apparently if this is its natural habitat, like the fetus of a mother, so too, it's going to create a chumrah in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. So therefore, a mother's walking into a mikvah, the tefila works, says the Avnei Malum. A mother's walking into a cemetery, walking into a levaya, and she's holding an ober that's going to be a kohen, and we're assuming that Hilchas Kohuna already applies at the time of the fetus, not like the Gemara we pointed out earlier. So then, Hainu Revise, that's its natural habitat. That is as if this child is actually becoming tame. You, the mother, are being metame biyadai in this child. And that's something that's not permitted. Because, Hainu Revise, what, separation? There's no separation here. If you went into the mikveh, it would be good. So you're going to tell me that this is separation? That's what the Avnei Malum argues. And come along the Achronim and they say, listen, your Shev Shmaitzah was impressive. Your whole, your Avnei Malum, your Ktzais, it's shu. What are you comparing Hilchus Chatzitza to Hilchus Tumas Kohanim? There's a halacha that the Gemara says in Hilchus Chatzitza. When it comes to separations, Hainu Revise, we don't view something that is in its natural habitat to be a separation, because that's part of the body. But how do you know to extrapolate from there that that's exactly the, as if someone is sitting into a Makom Tumah in Hilchus Tumas Kohanim? The Gemara never tells us that we have to take into account natural habitats when it comes to Tumah Vatara. The Gemara never says such a halacha of Hainu Revise when it comes to Tumah. So why shouldn't it be based on the Tumah is Lechora physical Nigias? You could touch it, you could be in the house, but you have to actually be there. And the same way in Metzias, physically, if a ring is inside the body, there's not going to be any Tumah. So too, if that same, if it's a living being, even if it's a natural habitat, if it has that separation, if it has a mechitza, if you would put the person in an airplane, right, that's a whole other schmooze, that's going to be a physical separation, maybe. That's going to be a physical separation. So what's the difference if it's a natural habitat? And let's say I naturally live in the... I mean, come on. Who says that natural habitat makes a difference to Hilchos Tumas Kohanim? So therefore, many of the Achronim are not so excited. It was very innovative, the Avnei Malum's idea. He extrapolated from Hilchos Geiris, from Hilchos Chatzitza, from Hilchos Tfilas Mikvah, to Hilchos Tumas Kohanim. But La Halacha, many question that this is really going to be a defense for the Rokeach. So if we don't accept this idea of the Avnei Malum, so Rabbi Osei, we're back to square one. We don't know how to understand this psak of the Shach, this Rokeach. Why do you need to come on to a Sfek Sveka to allow this woman to attend a Levaya? Who needs to be so fancy? It's separated. It's swallowed up. It's just like a ring that you would swallow. There's no tumah going into this fetus. What exactly is the issue, as the Magen Avraham asks, against the Rokeach? So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, as well as the Pesachei Teshuvah and Yerideya, quoting many Achronim, that say we got it all wrong. There is absolutely no problem, like the Magen Avraham argues, there's no difference between the ring and the fetus when this mother is walking around pregnant in the fifth, the sixth month. However, once it gets to the ninth month, and it gets to a week or two before, so now you got to start shaking a little bit. Now you got to tell the woman, relax a little bit. Watch out where you're going. Because now, any day, you know, we're expecting, so we don't want that you're going to deliver the child in a Beis HaKvaros. And I'm sure the woman will agree to that as well if you tell her about that. But we want you to be concerned. Don't go to the Levaya, because who knows, maybe you're going to go into labor at that point in time, and Hatzalah is going to have to rush in, the ambulance is going to have to rush in, we're not going to get you anywhere else, and we're going to have to deliver the baby, and the baby that's going to be a Kohen, not inside the mother's body, not as a fetus, as a Kohen. Once he's an hour old, a second old, then there's going to be a serious problem that you just caused this Kohen, this child, to become Tameh. So that was the case that the Rokeach was talking about. It was the end of the ninth month. It was a chash that we were worried that you were going to cause this child to be stuck. Oh, beautiful, Sid. Beautiful, beautiful. So not only that, I want to go one step further than you, Sid. Your question is excellent, and we're going to talk about it in a second, if we have time. But not only that, I want to argue further. I should be mechuyev to go take a sonogram and find an ultrasound and find out whether or not my child is a male or female. I'm an Eishes Chayim. I have to know. I don't have to rely on this sex fake anymore. Who says that I can rely on this? Why aren't I mechuyev to find out? You know, everyone likes to hack when you're pregnant. Do you know? Do you not know? About that I know. I'm an Eishes Chayim. I have to know. I'm mechuyev. I can't walk. I have to restrict myself from going in certain places. I'll be din. That's the answer to everyone's question. Depends if you're a Kohen or your soul. If you're a Kohen, you have to know. So what's the halacha? What's the pshat? So it comes along. Beautiful. Comes along source number 5, the Pesachei Tshuva. This Pesachei Tshuva is in Simen Kuf Yud in Yerideya. Simen Kuf Yud in Yerideya is dealing with the halachos of Svek Sveika. The halachos of, you have a taruvis and it falls into this and it falls into that. This is the end of Smicha. If Rabbanim have time to get to Kuf Yud, that means they have a little extra time because they're not going to be any Lamais Seshailas. But the guy, the Talmidim, usually want to do this because this is where, you know, the Shev Shmaitzes come in. This is where the Svek Sveikas and you have all these halachos that come in the end of Yerideya and taruvis in Simen Kuf Yud. So comes along the Pesachei Tshuva and he quotes from the Nod Bihuda as well as the Reb Kiva Eger. It says as follows. The halacha is, if I have a svek sveka, like we said before, you have a lot of svekas. Maybe it's a zachar, maybe it's a nekeva, maybe it's a nefil, and even if it's a zachar, maybe it's a nefil, maybe it's not going to last, so therefore I could walk into the Beis HaKfaris. Comes along the Pesachei Tshuva, and the Pesachei Tshuva says, so in a hilchos svek sveka, if I have the ability to be mevar, and to check out somehow, and find out and decipher whether or not these sveikos are actually real sveikos, if I have the ability to check, then you can't really rely on a svek sveika. Come on. What? You don't have a suffix. You're not walking around with a suffix. You could just press 1, 2, 3 and figure out your suffix. Talpi din, you don't have a suffix. Any case, it's efshar levar, that's not halachically considered a suffix. Comes along the Nod Yehuda and the Reb Kiva Eger and says the following chiddush. What happens if I'm in a scenario where I can only resolve one suffix, but I can't resolve the second suffix? So if you would ask me, honestly, intuitively, I would have said you still have to go. Because suffix deraisa l'chumra. If you only have one suffix, you have to make sure. Comes along Nod Yehuda and Reb Kiva Eger and says, no. You still can live and exist with that svek sveka, even though one of the svekos I could resolve and I could find out. So I have an ultrasound that could tell me the suffix of suffix zachar, suffix nekeva. I can figure out in the ultrasound, 1, 2, 3, is it a male, is it a female? Comes along the Nod Yehuda and Reb Kiva Eger, but you don't have to take the ultrasound. You don't have to take the ultrasound. You want to know why? Because there's no way whether you're going to tell me whether or not it's going to be a living child. Nebuch, none of us know that. Whether or not the child will remain living or not. Vaharaya, we said many weeks ago, Pidyon HaBen is when? 30 days. Why? According to many Rishonim, that's based on the halacha of Nefel. If we had the ability to know for sure that the child was going to live, so then we would make it on day 1 and get rid of Bris, or day 8, Bris, Pidyon HaBen, like we said before, 8th day caterers, no problem, 1, 2, 3, we're saving money over here. But we have to be choshish that maybe it will die. So that's something that we can't resolve, that suffix. So therefore, argues in Odeb Yehuda, argues Reb Kiva Eger, and based on this, l'halacha, a person would not be obligated to find out in this scenario. But the question is, and unfortunately we're not going to have time, and I'd like to leave you with this question, but l'maisa, people won't admit it, and many people try to fake it, including myself, that people say, yeah, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know what we're having. You know, just to, you know, shrug people away, but, you know, But many people actually do find out what they're having, a male or a female. So we just discussed whether they're obligated to find out. So apidin, if you want to keep it a surprise, so even though you can mivara, you can check out one suffix, we're not going to obligate the ishes coin to find out. But what if a person does know? What if a person does know, and now they want to do what? Okay, I could actually live with, at the end of the ninth month, not going to a levaya, or when you're expecting the baby, not going to the Beis HaKvaros, if that's the way you want to learn Pshat in the Rokeach. But I have a question, and I'd like to hear your answers, but why are you allowed to go to the hospital to deliver the baby? So you're going to have, you know that you're having a male, you know that you're having a zacher, and let's say it's a hospital that has a ward or has connections to the ward where they're going to be dead people. So why are you allowed to deliver your baby? That is, you know, you don't have a sex fake anymore. I found out that I'm having a male and I'm married to a Kohen. Why am I allowed to deliver my child inside that hospital that's connected to the cancer ward or somewhere else where there might be, you know, dead bodies? So, Mirtz Hashem, next week, or we'll talk about it in the future.